All right, I'm Dr. Lee Merritt, once an orthopedic and spinal surgeon. Now I'm a professional medical rebel. And tonight we have, he was Lieutenant Colonel Brad Miller. He's now Brad Miller. And, you know, you talk about somebody that gave up things. He had over 19 years, almost 19 and a half years in the military after being trained at West Point. None of this was easy. And yet he resigned his commission because he was not willing to violate his oath to the Constitution. And that is what we are all facing here. I've been saying for a long time that that physicians are violating their oath to Hippocrates, and the military are violating the oath to their Constitution, which they continue to maintain it once they're out. So this should be a really interesting show, and we have to applaud Lieutenant Colonel Miller for his stance. Where are the other officers, and where are the other doctors? That's our question. Go to the shop, use the term rebel. We'll be back in a minute.
At the Brighteon store, we offer a variety of colloidal silver solutions that we make in Texas using Texas rainwater and specialized circuitry that I personally designed to produce silver ions in purified rainwater. We have a colloidal silver extra strength spray, a silver-based first aid gel, as well as a colloidal silver herbal mouthwash solution that people just rave about. Each one of these is subjected to our rigorous laboratory testing for metals, glyphosate, and microbiology in order to ensure product purity and safety for your health. We manufacture our own silver products right in the heart of Texas and deliver them to you using our own warehousing and fulfillment infrastructure that we built to serve real America. All of us here at Brighteon thank you for your support. Shop our silver products at BrighteonStore.com.
I'm Dr. Artis.
I'm Scott McKay.
And we support and love and admire Brighteon.tv, and all of you should follow all the incredible hosts, all the incredible shows, only at Brighteon.tv, and they have a radio platform.
Yes, they do. And they do a radio show. I only know two people on this planet that walk on water. One was Christ, one was Mike Adams. He still does. I love Mike Adams. Mike is the ultimate, consummate professional in everything he does. And in fact, I tell people all the time, there's no higher level of integrity of anybody in this movement than Mike. So just that alone bolts me to Mike Adams.
I love Mike Adams. We support you 100%. Yeah. Brighteon.tv.
Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, and we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
All righty, we're here with Brad Miller, recently Lieutenant Colonel in the Army, West Point graduate. Thanks for coming on, Brad. Really appreciate it. Well, I can't tell you how sorry I am for what happened, because first of all, making it through 4 years at West Point is hard enough, and to do almost retirement age. I mean, that took courage and a lot of faith to do that, and honor and standing up. And I've been saying for a long time, where are the doctors? Well, you know what? They write their own oath these days. They don't really understand what that means. But that's not true of the military. It's the same oath. So what's going on, and maybe you can tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background and how this came about when you woke up. I really want to know kind of when you realized something was not right.
Yeah, great. And so what I would say, and of course you call yourself the medical rebel, and I can understand how doctors feel the weight of the medical establishment, the medical institutions against them. And I think it's the same for military officers, because there's that same gravitas or the weight of the institution that is against you, and it makes it really hard to go against the grain.
So as you said, I'm a 2003 West Point graduate. I served just over 19 years, 19 years, 3 months, 15 days to be exact. Wow. I did not make it to retirement. That's okay. It was a deliberate decision on my part. I'm happily resigned. And I tell people that, you know, I gave up my command, my career, my retirement. We'll talk about that. But I still came out a winner because when I left after 19 years of service, I left with my integrity intact and my oath to the Constitution unbroken.
Right. And you were the equivalent of the Navy commander, lieutenant colonel. You were a battalion commander. Not everybody gets to be a battalion commander.
Yeah, so I was a battalion commander.
You refused to vaccinate your troops, right? Or coerce them to be vaccinated.
Yeah, right. Those who did not want to take it. You know, I certainly had my professional actions and then my personal opinion. So one of the things that I did with my troops was I said, I'm entirely agnostic as to what you do. But what I can tell you is I know you're receiving a lot of pressure from command levels above me, and that will stop with me. I'm not going to coerce anybody to take the shots. Now, when I took command in June of 2021. So just to set the timeline correct here, that's 2 months before the mandate is implemented. I was only in command for 4 months. So I took command in June of 2021. The mandate is implemented at the end of August 2021. I am relieved of command in October, and a couple months later, I resigned. So when I first came in, there was no mandate, but the writing was on the wall. I routinely had conversations with my unvaccinated folks, and I was very clear in telling them, I'm not meeting with you because I'm trying to throw some coup here, get all the unvaccinated soldiers together and, you know, rise up. I'm talking to you as your battalion commander, but what I'm telling you is the writing is on the wall, and you need to have a plan because any day now, this mandate could drop and you need to know what you're going to do. And I'm not going to tell you what to do. But if you want to come talk to me in my office, if you want to know what my personal opinion is, I'll tell you, but I'm not going to broadcast it openly. I mean, there's some professionalism there too, but come talk to me in my office and I'll talk to you about your circumstances. And if you want to ask me questions, I will answer those. And I had plenty of young soldiers, you know, 19, 20 years old. Come see me in my office. And that's a big deal for a young soldier to go see the battalion commander. That's a big deal. And yeah. I had more than one young soldier in my office in tears because they did not want to see. They just didn't want to go through and take these shots.
Right. And rightly so. I mean, it's unbelievable to me, just as a former military physician and knowing something about the manual of the medical department, we violated everything that taught us about safety in military medical things, you know, sure. Like for pilots, for example, and for various different things. You never give them experimental drugs. They're up in a plane. And this violates all of that. And the other thing is, I don't get how the other officers, your more senior officers, mm-hmm. could ignore the actual law, the actual Code of Federal Regulations saying, as a result, by the way, of the anthrax debacle in the Gulf War, which I knew something about and was on active duty at the time, right. It's how could they just ignore the Code of Federal Regulations carving out a point that you cannot mandate military to take an experimental vaccine? That's right in there. I don't get how they ignored that. Any thoughts?
Yeah. So what I will say is, so we're 15 months removed from the actual implementation of the mandate. And there's a lot more evidence out now. I would say that the narrative has crumbled a lot in the last 15 months. So even if I look at this most charitably and I say, okay, maybe you could claim ignorance 15 months ago, and maybe you were even a true believer. You can't claim ignorance now. If you're still ignorant, it's willful now. You know there's other information out there, and you have decided intentionally not to go seek it. And one of the things that I think would be really devastating right now is if, let's say, lieutenant colonels, which in the Navy would be commanders and captains, if individuals at those mid-command levels, individuals who went along with this, and maybe they were a true believer a year ago, if those individuals came out now and said, I got to resign because I cannot go along with this. I believe this. I forced my troops to take this because I really thought this was about health and military readiness. And now I see that best case scenario was it was a bad policy. Worst case scenario, it's something more sinister. That's what I believe, by the way. But
yeah, absolutely.
But I think that would be devastating. But where are these mid-level leaders? Because it's not going to happen at the top. And I personally believe at the top, they're criminals. The rest of them on down the line are cowards, but at the top they're criminals.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at Milley and some of these guys, I mean, it does seem like they've been captured. If they're not criminals, they've been captured somehow. Sure. Because again, you can be ignorant. I don't expect a general to understand the in and out of whether or not there's RNA in this vaccine, mm-hmm. and whether or not it's good or bad medically. That's not his job. Mm-hmm. But not violating the law is his job.
Yeah, 100%.
It's actually the carve out in the law. And also it's a medically, you know, the other thing is some of those officers were physicians, and it violates the oath of basic medical ethics to mandate any vaccine against people's will. Now, in this situation, we can say, well, you know, we mandated other vaccines, but they were not technically experimental. That's where the law specifically says you cannot do mm-hmm. that here. So these guys were wrong. No matter how you cut it, they're not right.
Yeah, and these commanders, they're not medical experts, they're not legal experts, but they have those individuals on their staffs for a reason.
Right. And I was shocked. I talked to Dr. Atlas one time. I was shocked to hear from him that President Trump was never briefed by bioweapons guys, was never briefed by military medicine. This is the commander in chief. And by the way, that's an ongoing problem with medicine kind of being stovepiped off to the side. But in this situation, at the minimum, we should have recognized a national security issue. I actually spoke at this at an American Frontline Doctors meeting. This is how I got my very own hit piece with NPR. When I suggested mm-hmm. it wasn't good national security strategy to vaccinate your entire military, your entire first responders, your border sure. patrol, your surgeons, everybody you need to keep the infrastructure of America going and secure, with a vaccine that turns out not to be a vaccine, but with a vaccine at the time that whose blueprint was given to us by our enemy, Communist Chinese. Where are generals? Where's our thinking of strategy?
So we prize our leaders on being strategic thinkers. So what we want our leaders, especially these upper echelons, but they teach this at the mid levels as well, that you have to be able to look at a complex environment for sure and survey a wide array of diverse interrelated variables and then make a determination as to what you're going to do based on that assessment. Sure, got it. So why is it that we have, you know, privates and airmen that did a better job of understanding what the real threats were strategically and stayed away from it, right? Right. What was the real threat to military readiness? You know, we have privates that identified that rightfully and stayed away from it. Meanwhile, our generals and our admirals ran right to the real threat. So where are our leaders who actually have some sort of strategic thinking ability? And then if they do have that strategic thinking ability and they do kind of know what's going on, then why are they still going along with it? So I mean, which is it?
Right. And at the minimum amount of medical understanding should have been that only before they started jigging the numbers in the DMED, only 20 active duty people died in 2020 from the vaccine. Now, these are young, healthy people, and they shouldn't have been, you know, there shouldn't have been a question about this. So,
yeah, and that's, so I have two real problems now with individuals who, like I say, if I want to look at this as charitably as possible, because I have a lot of friends who are still in, I have a lot of peers who are still battalion commanders, et cetera. And the two problems that I have are, one, it's widely known, unless you ignore it, that there was this entire shell game that occurred with the FDA approval upon which the DoD mandate is predicated. So that is extremely problematic. And then two is the DMED data. So there are a lot of problems going on with the senior leadership of DoD. And one of the so when I resigned, I had to write a letter to Human Resources Command for the Army. And part of that letter is I have to explain why I want to resign. And I used some pretty strong language in my letter. And one of the things that I said was, well, my values no longer align with the values of the senior leadership of DoD. So I feel the best course for me right now is to resign. And I hate to say this because, you know, there's a paradox at play here. And that to me is we're in a situation where now in my mind, the armed forces and the country are in tension with one another. Now, if you have a republic that works properly, that would not happen. They would be in line. The military would support the Constitution as it's designed to do. But what I felt was, I felt where I was backed into a situation where I could either pick the armed forces or I could pick the country, I chose the country. And in my mind, there's an order of precedence there. The country, the military exists to support and defend the Constitution, thereby protecting the country, not the other way around. If you love your job too much and you pick the military over the country, in my mind, your priorities are askew.
Right. Well, and so that brings me to the next question. I mean, the question is, do you think this is an actual insidious or clandestine takeover of our military? In other words, as I asked General McInerney one time, has our entire general staff been captured? Because it is a little hard to buy that, number one, they violated, they couldn't see that there was not a risk, that they were taking a huge risk by doing that. But all that being aside, that there's a huge problem here. We've got people coming across the southern border. We've got Chinese stationed in Canada, and we're risking our troops. Something is really, really not right here. Yeah. And I'm wondering how many mid-level, if the entire general staff, command staff of the military is captured, how many people in the mid-level of the military are waking up to the fact that this may be an attack on our entire nation, which I think it is, by the way.
Sure. I
think
that's going on. So do I. I think there are many great people that are still in the military. They are, however, absolutely being cowards. I don't know how else to say it. So somewhere at the very top, I do believe that that the leadership is comprised of traitors and criminals. Below that, it's cowards. I don't know exactly where that dividing line is. So, right. And it's not every general, it's not every admiral. Certainly there are some that that aren't part of it. They're not part of those who are actively perpetrating this on the military and the country. But also but why are you going along with it? You have to know that something is wrong. And I have spoken to friends of mine who, I have multiple friends who are great officers in command right now, and could probably go on and do great things in the military if they wanted to, because they have that aptitude, and they have decided to get out after command. And on the one hand, I commend them, but on the other hand, I'm like, but why aren't you saying something now?
Right. It would be better. Again, this is like when we had a fight about recertification. It's petty compared to this, but look, there was a big fight about, and there still is, about whether or not it makes sense to recertify you for your specialty medical boards. It's expensive and it's really a scam.
Sure.
And so some people younger than me, and my generation too, are just saying, well, next time I won't recertify. And I said 20 years ago, I said, let's just not recertify now. Just don't do it now. Make a big splash about this. Don't just quietly slink away, because that's not helping the next generation. And that's, I think, you know, I mean, and the other point is, this used to be true when we were independent physicians. If the big money surgeons that funded hospitals because of their surgery, if they got together and walked into the CEO of the hospital and said, this is wrong, we're not participating in this, it would stop. And I think to myself, if the majors, lieutenant colonels and colonels, forgetting the general staff for a minute, if they walked in to the higher levels at the battalion level, at the Pentagon level, and said, "We're leaving. You can't do this anymore. Yeah. We're gonna make this known. What's going on?" I got to think it would stop.
It would have to stop.
You know, at least they've done their duty, because otherwise they're just doing a job. And I that depresses me about the military officers.
Yeah, and so you know, I mentioned the paradox about how, where you get to a point like I did, and you say, if I'm going to actually be faithful to the oath to the Constitution that I made, paradoxically, I'm going to actually have to leave the military. And there's another paradox at play too, which is, I mentioned before, it can be problematic if you love your job a little bit too much. So if you're a commander and you're a little too in love with being a commander, then you don't actually understand the mantle of command. And so in my case, and I'm not saying I'm, you know, Mr. Superhero here, I'm just a normal guy. I just happen to get this right. But in my mind, when I had kind of the debate with myself, right, as to what I was going to do, I just had to tell myself that if I'm a true commander and I really understand the mantle of command, then again, perhaps paradoxically, I'm going to have to be prepared to give up command.
Right. That is exactly right. That's the point. It's not just slink away when nobody notices it, but say, okay, can't do this anymore. It is not ethical. It violates my oath to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I I am very happy with the 19 years that I served. Yeah, I'm not against the armed forces as an institution. I'm against the people who are criminals and cowards that, you know, make up the leadership ranks right now. I'm very happy to be a West Point graduate. West Point has a lot of problems right now the last couple of years. But again, I'm a major fan of the institution and the history. It's an extremely storied institution. But one of the things that I learned as a cadet was, and it's part of the cadet prayer, and you learn it very early on when you're a new cadet at West Point, and that is you choose the harder right over the easier wrong. And again, I was not a super stud cadet. I'm not saying I'm the best Army officer that you ever put on the uniform. I'm not saying that. I am subject to the same human frailties as everybody else. You know, I can be selfish. I can be, you know, overly ambitious, just like anybody else. I'm not saying that I was a perfect officer. What I'm saying is that in this set of circumstances, I got it right. That's all I can say. I'm not here to say that I was a perfect officer, that I did everything correct, that I did everything perfect my entire career. No, that's not true at all.
I think one of the things, the saddest things I saw was, one of them was the Naval Academy, for sure. I saw the graduation mm-hmm. ceremony of the Naval Academy, and they were sitting like every other chair in a mask.
Sure.
And I said, that tells you what's going on here. This is a takedown of our military. This is really a takedown of our military. And I hope that we're in some form of continuity of government. And I hope there's some part of that's another problem, is that it's making the military not look like what people expected to defend this nation. People are getting it out here away from the military. I don't know if you've had that. They said, you know, we just don't see the military is going to be able to save us. Well, I'm not sure that's true. I hope that this, what do you think? I mean, are there still parts of the military you think that are relatively, and maybe this is something you can't talk about, but I think that there's some people we're not hearing from that makes me hopeful. There are groups out there that are functional, that aren't just laying down.
Yeah. So personally, I'm skeptical of that. Now, I certainly could be wrong. I have not necessarily seen evidence of that, but then again, maybe I wouldn't. So I don't know. I mean, I would like to think that that's true. I personally am a little skeptical, but perhaps, you know,
yeah,
I will say this about
comes to mind. I mean, I'm just wondering what, you know, there's, you know, magnification of power on there, and that might be of some use here. I hope there's somebody out there that's not corrupt.
Yeah, because I do believe.
Where are we? I mean, I'm seeing, I don't know if you're watching, but these new, like they showed an infrared photo the other day of the Mexican border. And these guys don't look like peasants coming across the border to farm. They're in order. They're in rank. It's mid in the night. They're like a company of military people. They do not look like random border crossers. So something bad is going on here.
Yeah, I absolutely think that that's going on. And I do believe that this has all been deliberate. I mean, I saw a quote recently from, Reiner Fuelmick. I just saw it yesterday, but it was, let me make sure I can get it right. But it was, the vaccine wasn't for COVID. COVID was for the vaccine. I might not have that wording exactly right, but the vaccine, it's not really a vaccine, was always the objective. You know, the stage just had to be set with COVID, whatever COVID is. And we could talk about this a little bit more as to why I was so skeptical of the COVID narrative from day one, because for me, taking the injection, like that was never going to happen. It wasn't even much of a debate in my mind. It was just never going to happen.
Yeah. I was an unemployed surgeon suddenly. So I had lots of time to study and things that I didn't study recently. But it didn't take long, if you know how to look at the literature, to be skeptical of this. And like I say, mm-hmm. number one for the military should have been the low risk to military people. We only lost out of 1.5 million or 1.6 million that's in of people in arms. We lost 20 people. Why are we even taking this risk at all? There is no sense to that unless somebody is doing this for the purpose of taking us down. I mean, you know, you're not going to, America's hard to take down. Even in our weakest state, we're hard to take down. And I think this was a way to do it, because we recognize missiles as a weapon, but we don't recognize a syringe.
Yeah,
we never have. We should.
But military commanders should understand how to balance out opportunities and risks. And that means just like many people doing a cost benefit analysis. And I mean, was that not done?
Apparently not. And I think it is true that when I was in the military, and I don't think this has changed. I mean, it may have, but it seems to be that they kind of military, you know, an officer in the Navy, we used to joke, a medical officer in the Navy just takes the place of a ship driver. So they really don't want very many of us, you know. And so we're really useful when people are bleeding, but the rest of the time we're kind of on a shelf somewhere. And I think that's a problem. And I think it bit us here. It really bit us in the place you don't want to be bitten. So I think I think that we're going to pay the price from here, but I'm hoping it's not irretrievable. Listen, we're going to be back in just a little bit. Thanks for joining us for the first half. And please, when you go to the shop, if you like the show, use the code REBEL at the Brighteon shop and support the show. And we'll be back here in just a little bit with former Lieutenant Colonel Brad Miller. Thank you.
Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com. And we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com. Satellite phones have been wiped out globally because of the supply chain collapse and war in Europe. But a truly amazing new option has emerged, the BiviStick, which allows you to send and receive text messages using almost any mobile device without relying on cell towers at all. In a world where war, riots, or a power grid failure can happen literally at any time, the BiviStick and its two-way satellite messaging gives you the power to reach loved ones, to send emergency messages or request a rescue. And to use this device, you do not have to register your name, and you don't need to turn on location services or reveal your geographic location. The battery life is several days in duration, and you can easily recharge it using a small portable power bank. There are only about 20,000 BiviSticks that will be available in America this year. Get yours now while they're still available at sat123.com. That's sat123.com. Here we grow again. Brighteon is expanding with our new daily live stream in Espanol. Anchored by hosts like Fior Hernandez, a former Telemundo and Fox reporter, Brighteon TV in Espanol is bringing over a dozen new hosts and shows to the Spanish speakers of the world who are seeking out the truth on everything. To watch, go to Brighteon.com, click on the Espanol live stream, and prepare to hear the truth in a whole new language. Brighteon TV in Espanol.
Hey guys, this is Gene Ho. I tell you, I love Brighteon TV.
All right, well, we're back with Brad Miller, former Lieutenant Colonel, United States Army, West Point graduate. You know, when we're going to talk, I wanted to find out, Brad, how you awoke to this whole thing. I'll tell you my latest awakening, and I just say this because any young military, or not just young, any military, anybody listening, I think we're coming closer to understanding what's going on with these vaccines and how they're hurting us. And one thing I'm pretty darn sure about, this has to do with both an artificial and a real parasite. And mostly, you know, what we're seeing in the military, what I've been hearing from friends that were still in the military, medical officers, is that when you're seeing these young guys that would take they're taking the vaccine and they're getting cancer. It's not just a single cancer like we used to see. It was very common to see, you know, a 23-year-old, 24-year-old young man might get a testicular cancer that's age-related. Every once in a while that happens. They get it taken care of. But now they're breaking out with this stuff like they've got metastases all over. Well, that's not right. So how do we explain that? Well, it's not the big lie is that this is probably all parasites. And metastases and cancer are probably all parasites. So anybody that has this happen to them, don't give up. Start taking fenbendazole and get on. I've got a parasite paradigm video that's on Rumble and on my website. So please don't think it's all, don't let the already incompetent medical, organized medicine kill you because they don't understand, they're not willing to see what's going on here. So I think that's what's getting people. I think that's a major problem here with this. I think that's one of the major reasons this is going down. But how did you happen to wake up, just how did you become suspicious of this? Because military, we always took vaccines, there was like yellow fever and all sorts of crazy stuff. So how did it waken you up?
Yeah, so I think what we're dealing with here is, and I'm going to answer your question, but is with the masses. I'm not talking about those at the top who are perpetrating this, on all of us, but the masses. I think there's a real worldview problem, and so a lot of people right now are trying to do some mental gymnastics. They don't understand what's going on, and the reason they don't understand what's going on is because the map they have in their head of how the world works doesn't match the terrain of reality, and until they realize that, until they disabuse themselves of these errant, components of their worldview, they're not going to wake up. And some people are never going to wake up. But I think there are some. I mean, there are people who have taken the primary series of shots and now have a ton of vaccine regret. I have some of those individuals that are my friends and my family. And they're starting to realize, wow, a lot of things that I thought I knew about the government and the world, I don't think it's right. And so for me, luckily, I was kind of already aware of that. So earlier in my career, I had done a lot of research, and I had just kind of come to terms with the fact that what we hear from the government is almost never exactly the way that it is. And many times it's just totally a lie. I mean, there's just no other way to say it. So earlier in my career, when I was a young captain, I had started to read and research a lot of things, and I'd even come to a point where I almost got out of the military. This is probably about 2009 or so, because I had a real hard time reconciling my military service with kind of reality. Now, spoiler alert, I did not get out of the military then, and I stayed in. And I don't want to say that that for another 12 or 13 years I operated on, with some sort of cognitive dissonance. It wasn't like that, but in my head, I always held out hope that, okay, somehow we're going to get back on the right track. So then when COVID happened, I just realized that we've crossed the Rubicon. I mean, I thought we had crossed the Rubicon before because that's supposed to be like some sort of, singular event, right? But now we've really crossed it, So I never believed the COVID narrative from day one. I was stationed in Korea at the time. And so, just being in Asia and with the story about it coming from Wuhan, there was a lot of people in South Korea were justifiably concerned, and I didn't know what was going on. I'm not going to tell you that I was a genius all along and that I understood what the truth was. I just knew that what they were telling us, I just knew the narrative that was just not true. So then fast forward through 2020, and as we get closer to the end of 2020 and into 2021, there's talk of this vaccine. And in my head, it was just a non-starter. I mean, and it was just, you can't take that. I mean, there's something else afoot. You can't take the vaccine. I just knew that from day one.
Well, in your worldview point, I think that's exactly the problem. And J. Edgar Hoover once said, and I think I start this with all my talks these days because it's so true. He said, the individual's handicapped coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists.
Sure.
That's our problem. I mean, 10 years ago, if I realized that someday I would be talking about Moloch and sacrifice of children as being the reason that this is happening, I'd think I was just lost my mind. But unfortunately, this is so big, and it's about things that we never considered. We never thought were true. We thought it was all science fiction and made up stuff in the past. And it turns out J. Edgar Hoover knew whereof he spoke. I mean, we are in a huge, huge cabal. And it's not, the other thing is, I think that was a problem for the military specifically is so many of us that were in during the Cold War, we had this bipolar worldview that, there were the Soviets were bad and the Chinese were bad and the English were good and the Americans and all the Five Eyes were good. And that just turns out not to be true either. It was like,
correct. Yeah, not true at all.
The bad guys were scattered around in their factions, within every state.
And I think that the, you know, the typical worldview that people have, the general geopolitical worldview that, well, the world is divided into nations and nations have interests, et cetera. Well, it's a lot more complex than that. I mean, there are leaders of nations who answer to people that are, you know, controlling them. The world is I think people already understand that there are such things as palace intrigue and that there are intelligence networks and there's, you know, politicking and Machiavellian, you know, decision-making that goes on. People already understand that. What they don't understand is they don't understand that there are these factions and these networks that have a lot of power across the world. And at the top, they are extremely evil. And what we're seeing right now is I think absolutely a part of an extremely evil, sinister plan.
Would always have an excuse for the pharmaceutical companies or doctors, and they'd always say, well, but you know, it's kind of like, well, they make mistakes too. They're just human. Mm-hmm. It's so bit far beyond that. And it's so far beyond greed. I mean, you can look at these guys. If this were greed, they wouldn't be fleeing their jobs at Moderna and Pfizer. I mean, people are leaving because they know the ship is sinking here. And, yeah, it's about things that we just never, it really is a spiritual war. And I think many of us come around to realize that this is so much bigger than any nation state, any group of people that are within a company, for example.
Yeah, it's not incompetence. Now, there may be a certain permitted facade of incompetence, perhaps, that is permitted to be there to kind of mask the willful malfeasance that is behind it. But these are deliberate plans. And you mentioned before, that we don't have independent doctors like we used to. And I'm sure you've said before that this was sequenced out. There were things that were done in a proper sequence to kind of set the stage for COVID to be able to happen, to then get to the vaccines, et cetera. And there are other things going on in the world right now that I think are tied to the vaccine, et cetera. I mean,
medicine, I do think in medicine, we can see the little baby steps that did it. You know, Obamacare was one of the last steps because it herded us all into hospitals. Before that, 75% of doctors were independent. They wouldn't have gone along with this. Mm-hmm. And then there were things like, you know, dumbing down the Hippocratic Oath, you know, the Rockefeller medicine. One of the big ones is the big lie of viruses, which really took me a year to wrap my head around and just realize how big a lie that is and why it's a lie, how we're hiding things. I actually, I have to read this. This is a quote by not somebody I would normally quote in this, but it's Yuval Harari. Mm-hmm. Yuval Noah Harari. Interesting middle name. He says, censorship no longer works by hiding information from you. Censorship works by flooding you with immense amounts of misinformation, of irrelevant information, of funny cat videos until you're unable to focus. That's really what's going on. And I think, how does all that play? What do you think happened to the military in the last 20 years along those lines?
Yeah, I think what happened in the military. So the military is always going to be a reflection of society. And so I got asked a couple of days ago, do I think that wokeism prepared the military for the vaccine mandate? No, but I think it's related. I mean, it's. I don't think the vaccine mandate is an outgrowth of wokeism. What I do believe is that these are multiple prongs of a singular strategy that is being used to destroy the military. And I hate to say it, but this has been a loyalty test, and people have proven where their loyalties lie. Now, if you ask me, I felt like I had to make a decision whether I was going to kind of side with the military or with the country, because I really believe that there's an architecture of tyranny that is being erected around all of us. And we saw it. We saw it with the lockdowns. We saw it with the talk about vaccine passports, which has come back up. It's being talked about right now, vaccine passports again. So you know, none of this has necessarily gone away. I mean, it's gone away to some degree, but I mean, they're already telling us again that it's going to be another winter of death and, you know, disease for the unvaccinated. I mean, you know, same thing they told us last year, right? So, yeah, so I just think that with the military, unfortunately, so many people feel bound to the institution, and they feel that you stick with the institution even when bad decisions are made. And to some degree, I understand that. So. I got relieved of command specifically for refusing to obey an order. Now, in the military, because I think this is important. In the military, can you disobey an order? Yes. And you are taught that very early on. You can disobey an order when that order is, you know, illegal, immoral, unconstitutional. Now, a lot of times you may argue with your commander about whether or not it's really illegal, but you are duty bound, and you were taught this. You were taught that you have a moral obligation and a duty to the institution itself to refuse to obey and, you know, an order that is not sound. Now, or when I say not sound, I really should be more precise. That is illegal, unconstitutional, or immoral. Right. Now, can you refuse to obey an order that you feel is tactically unsound? No, you can't. What you can do is you can make known to your boss that, hey, I really feel that this order tactically does not make sense, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you're taught all the time that you should have those conversations with your commander. Of course, you know, I think a lot of people have this overly caricatured notion of the military that, you know, you're constantly told exactly what to do and you're an automaton. It's not really like that. Good commanders, of course, take advice from their subordinates. But if you make your peace known and your boss, your commander says, I hear you. You think we should do B, but we're going to do A. Decision made. Doesn't matter whether you disagree tactically. Doesn't matter whether you think that you and your soldiers are all going to get killed. That's horrible, but you are still bound to carry out that order.
But it's completely different. Institutional.
That's right. That's completely different. That has nothing to do with, hey, I just disagree with this because I don't think it's smart, because I don't agree with it tactically, or I don't agree with it strategically. Now we're in a whole new territory. But it's important to understand those nuanced differences and where that line is drawn.
And I think it's interesting that most Americans, I don't think, realize, you know, they always hear about our Constitution, but I don't think they realize the importance that our military, unlike, you know, the military in England, they don't take an oath to a Constitution or the Bill of Rights or anything. They take an oath to the king and his heirs right now. Mm-hmm. So whatever the king says, you are duty-bound, oath-bound to do. That's not true. We had an oath to the Constitution, not to the president. He might be the commander-in-chief, but it's to the oath to the Constitution. And that's what you're talking about. That's a very different level, not tactical, but on a constitutional basis, you can refuse an order.
Yeah. One thing that I really wish would happen in the military is I wish that we would talk about the Constitution more. And we don't. And I don't, just like in general society, a lot of American citizens do not understand much about the Constitution at all. They're not up on their history at all. And I hate to say it, but the military is a reflection of society. And most military officers, again, very well studied, many of them very intellectual. I would hazard to say that many of them do not understand the Constitution. They don't understand the history of, you know, how the Constitution came to be. You know, the ratification debates. I mean, they just don't necessarily understand those things. And a lot of times whenever you hear the Constitution mentioned in the military, it typically is when someone is going to take an oath. Now, that oath is very serious, but a lot of times I feel that it gets reduced down to mere lip service.
It's interesting. So we're in a big disinformation war. And one of the, I think, pieces of misinformation in history is, oh, you know, the Masons, and George Washington was a Mason. But it strikes me, and so many of our founding fathers were Masons, but it strikes me that they specifically set this up because they saw what was going on in Europe. And they, you know, they didn't want, you know, we wonder why. I'm as a child that was born right after World War II, and I remember my father talking to his buddies that went over to the war, coming back, talking about all this. The question was, how did the Germans lose their way so badly? How did they do those things on an individual level? I mean, you know, how it wasn't, we can understand Eichmann maybe, but how do we understand all the little people that did all those jobs that made it possible to kill all these people? And specifically, as a physician, he wondered how the Nazi doctors got to do what they ended up doing what they did. And we're seeing, I think we're learning it, because when they discharge people like you, when people like you leave, who are they left with? They're left with people that don't have a problem taking unconstitutional orders.
Sure. That's right. That's right. And so what happens now? I mean, what's going to happen with the military? What are the next sets of orders that are going to come down that people are going to then feel obligated to go along with? And when does it stop? The other thing is, so like many words in everyday parlance these days, I feel like patriotism is one of those words that's been kind of co-opted. I look at patriotism the same way that Mark Twain looks at it, which is you love your country always, you support your government, you know, when it deserves it. And so for me, the government is not the country. Those are they're not synonyms. It's not the same thing. And if the government is in opposition to the country, I mean, I'm going to side with the country. And I don't mean, I'm not talking about violence. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm just saying that, you know, I'm going to stand with the country. And the dirty little secret, and you understand this because, you know, you were in the Navy, but the dirty little secret is that just by virtue of the fact that you're in the military, that does not necessarily mean that you serve the country. You really serve the government. You only serve the country in as much as the government serves the country. And that's a hard lesson to learn. And again, maybe that even seems paradoxical, but it is. And so we got a lot of people right now who are good people. I think their priorities are a little misaligned. I think they need to wake up to what's going on. But you have these individuals who are going along with this, and there's very much an architecture of tyranny that is being built around all of us. And you have individuals in uniform, you know, with an American flag on their shoulder that are, I mean, they're going along with this. And I have a problem with that.
I have. So that in our last few minutes, I'm going to ask you the really tough question. And that's the question that so many people ask is, are the military, given what's happening, do you believe the military will at some point turn their weapons against the people of America? And I've always said, up until now, you know, there were so many fine men and women I served with in the military. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yes, I believe some people will be corrupt, but I don't believe that all those mid-grade officers that, you know, took this oath are going to allow that. I just don't believe it. But what do you think now? Maybe things have changed. I don't know.
So I think it's possible. I don't think it's likely. But I think it's more possible than it was 3 years ago. So there's a huge litmus test. And so what has happened is, like I said, it was a loyalty test, and people have, they feel obligated to follow orders. And here's the problem. Cause I've actually said this to some of my friends. Hey, I could see a time under a specific set of circumstances, and I'm not saying it's likely, but I could see a set of circumstances where this happens. And what's going to happen is, of course, they're going to give a whole lot of reasons as to why. Well, these people are dangerous. You know, they're dangerous. They're a threat. So you're going to have these people who are good people, but in their minds, they're going to be told that, hey, there are seemingly legitimate reasons as to why these individuals are threats, and you've got to, you know, neutralize these threats. So again, I want to reiterate, I think it's possible. I don't think it's likely. But I think things are moving in the wrong direction.
And they're setting this up. I can tell you, just in medicine now, they've got $10 million. There was an AI program. $10 million was just put towards to combat dangerous misinformation. And misinformation is essentially becoming a criminal act. And then the second part they're saying is that people who are unvaccinated are this I think was in Canada, but it's the same principle. It'll come here too, is that people that are unvaccinated are literally a psychiatric risk. So, you know, and it's the Soviets, you know, Andrei Sakharov. It says, oh, Dr. Sakharov, he just a little misunderstands what's going on. We'll take care of him in a psychiatric institution for a while. Yeah. And I see that what's coming to us is that they're going to have these, like you say, these unusual reasons for doing things to us.
And they will sound legitimate to those who are unprepared to really think and really understand that this is, at the end of the day, it's spiritual. That's what this is spiritual. And people need to wake up to that. Otherwise, they're going to be unprepared when they receive those orders, and they're going to end up going along with something that under normal circumstances, they would never do. But these are not normal circumstances.
And that's why I think we need to be in good communication with our local sheriff for certain, our local police chief, and the military people we know that we can talk to about this, because everybody needs to do a check of their own moral stance and what they're going to do when that time comes, because it is coming. That time is coming when you're going to have to make that decision, you know, do you turn against the American people. And
people need to realize that we're in dangerous waters here. I mean, we are.
Well, listen, I really appreciate you coming on. And in the last 30 seconds here, tell us how people can learn more from you. And do you have a website?
So I'm working on it. I'm working on setting up a website. It's not up yet, but you know, you can find me. I just opened up a Twitter and an Instagram. I never thought I would do that, but in the last couple of days, it's been crazy. I've had to. So you can find me, Brad Miller. Brad Miller. Easy to find.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Okay. Well, great. And we hope we'll see you on Truth Social too, you know.
Much.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. And that was Brad Miller, former Lieutenant Colonel, United States Army, a real conscientious, honest officer, patriot. So thanks a lot for coming on. And we'll see you guys next week. Don't forget to go to the Brighttown shop and use the code REBEL to support the show. And I appreciate all of you who have. And we'll see you next week. Thank you very much. Night.